Morning, everyone. How's everyone doing? Good. Good to see you all. I just say, well done, Mosaic. I was expecting like 50 people this morning. This is amazing. This is great on New Year's Day. This is fantastic. One thing, Andre, I'm so sorry wherever you're at. I'm doing media this morning, so the slides, and that I've led worship. I am far more nervous to do that computer back there to slide like every slide. So wherever you're at, I'm so sorry. I butchered it for you. Hey, it's good to be here with you all. It's great to be here on January 1st. I hope that you guys had a great Christmas. It was so good to sing with so many of you on Christmas Eve. I hope you guys had a great Christmas Day, Christmas Eve. What has become sort of a tradition in the Tarka household, we have some family here in Portland. We're all from Chicago, and we order Chicago pizza. So Gina's East pizza, anyone? So we have to order it like 2 weeks before, and the guy gets into his little Ford Fiesta and drives it across the country. It's cold, but we heat it up. No, but check this out. There was a shipping error, much to our amazement. We ordered 5 pizzas, and they delivered 10. So it was a Christmas miracle. So yesterday I was like, oh, I'm hungry, I'm kind of bored, I'm just gonna throw on a pizza in the oven. I need a pizza from Chicago. So we've been eating so much pizza in my house, it's been amazing. Yeah, so, hey, would you pray with me? And then we're gonna dive into scripture. This is what it's gonna look like this morning. Shorter talk, no communion this morning. We're actually gonna hear from scripture, something that God has laid on my heart for us, for the Mosaic community. And then we're going to end our time by praying for the new year and praying for us. And then also we'll ask you guys kind of a poignant question at the end of this session, one that maybe can kind of shape what 2017 looks like for all of you. So let's pray. God, we just thank you so much for this morning. And thank you so much as we've just come out of the Advent season to celebrate your birth, to be reminded that you are near to us, Emmanuel, that you are not distant or disinterested in our lives, but that you are near, that you are present with us. And that not only on Christmas Eve or on Christmas, but through the entire year, you are near to us. And God, as we do so often as we gather, as we open up your word, pray that you would speak to us, give us ears to hear, and hearts to respond. Tell us how to be church in Portland. Tell us how to follow after you in this culture, God. How to lift up your name high. We love you. Amen. This period between Christmas, I would say even like December and parts of January, it always feels like for me, it's like this cycle or this pendulum of like anticipation and then let down, like buildup of what could be and then reality of what is. The first time I felt this cycle of like this anticipation of what could be and this reality or the letdown was I was in fourth grade and I wanted a keyboard for Christmas so bad. It was this Casio keyboard. I still know what it looks like. It was this big. My mom worked at a merchandise store, and she would work in the evenings, and so my dad we'd go to pick her up, and we'd go a little early so I can get to play this keyboard, right? It was this big, and it had these yellow pads in the top right that were drums, and you could record as you play the drums going, record that, play it back, and then play on the keyboard. And every time my mom would work, I'd go in there, I'd want this keyboard. And my parents hinted that my grandma was going to buy this keyboard for me. My grandma lived close to us. And so all throughout December, as we would go and visit, I'd see this present under the tree wrapped that looked like this big. And it was like, oh man, my anticipation, right? Finally, Christmas Eve, we go to Grandma T's house. And we walk in, and she had the most amazing 1970-ish fake tree that was on a base. That the tree was amazing, but the base was gold, and it would slowly spin the tree. And she'd only turn it on Christmas Eve. So it would slowly spin. And then it not only did it spin the tree, it played the worst Christmas music you have ever heard. She would just play it, and it was just slow. But under that amazing fake tree from the 70s that played horrible Christmas music was my keyboard. I had to go through Christmas Eve dinner, kind of shove some food down my throat, and then we were released to the living room. And I was first up, and I picked that present. I pull it back to my spot, and everyone's looking at me. And I'm just like, the anticipation is up here. I'm going to get this keyboard. I already know where in the house I'm going to go to plug it in, to play the drums, to play the keyboard. And I tear it open, and what is it? It's not a keyboard. It's a wooden rifle that shoots rubber bands. It's a rubber band shooter. Anticipation? Let down. And I think as adults, we go through this as well during the new year as well. The anticipation of what could be. Maybe this is the year that we decide we're going to eat healthier, right? So some of you, it's like start Whole30. Or this is the year that we're going to get into shape. So we join a gym, or we decide we're going to run. I've got a friend who yesterday started CrossFit for the first time. And that's fantastic. I think that's great. The reality is, he's probably not going to make it through the month of January doing CrossFit, right? For some of you doing Whole30, it will be like Whole15, right? There's other things, though. Maybe this is the year that you get your finances in order. Maybe this is the year that you decide, I'm actually going to get serious about my relationship with Jesus. Maybe this is the year that whatever that addiction is, this is the year that that ends. And these are all great things, right? These are all great things. But God isn't bound by our anticipation. He's not bound by the reality of what is. He's not bound by the buildup or the letdown. He's not bound by the success of our New Year's resolutions. And he's not bound by the failure of our New Year's resolutions. He's not rocked. The earth isn't shaken when you don't get the keyboard that you want when you're in fourth grade. There's something else going on with God and us in this new year. There's something else that is going on in the midst of our lives that God is far more concerned about for this next year. While we're busy making plans and schedules, God has a different agenda for us, oftentimes. While we're making and breaking resolutions, God is up to something else. This morning, I want to tell you about a story about a man whose only goal, whose only agenda for his day was to make enough money to get through the day. And maybe, just enough for the next day so he wouldn't have to beg enough. And then at the end of that, I want to ask you a question, a defining question. It can maybe kind of change the direction or the shape of 2017. So if you would, if you turn to the Gospel of Mark, chapter 10, if you're on the bottom floor, I printed out the scripture as well. I thought I was being generous. I printed 150 out. So I'm sorry for the balcony that doesn't have it. So again, Mark 10, starting in verse 46. Then they came to Jericho. As Jesus and his disciples, together with a large crowd, were leaving the city, a blind man, Bartimaeus, which means son of Timaeus, was sitting by the roadside. We'll stop there. And remember that phrase, sitting by the roadside. So let me kind of give you the lay of the land. Let me give you the setup here. Jericho was a city outside of Jerusalem. Jericho was a few miles outside of Jerusalem. Jerusalem was for our sake, for the story of the Gospels, the most important city, right? It was like Portland to America, okay? Specifically Southeast Portland. So you've got this group of people, a large crowd with Jesus, and they're stopping at Jericho to rest because when we look on the calendar, we're, depending on where Mark puts this, we're between 7, 8, 9 days out of what we know as Easter. All right, so this is essentially the last few days of Jesus' life. All right, so he's traveling and he stops to Jericho to rest, and he's got about a few miles to get into Jerusalem for what we consider as Holy Week. All right, now if you're a religious Jew, if you're not following after Jesus, if you're not a disciple of Jesus, if you're a religious Jew, you're also getting ready to travel. And so there's groups of people that are going there for the big feast, the Feast of Passover, that's going to happen in a few days. So there's a lot of people here. And Mark says there's this guy named Bartimaeus who's sitting by the side of the road. So the road's out of the city of Jericho, and it's the path that you need to go to get into Jerusalem. We don't know much about Bartimaeus. We know with his family. We don't know how he was blind, if he was blind from birth or there was some sort of an ailment, but we just know that he's blind. And he's sitting there and he's begging, much like you see in Portland here, especially on Sandy during the week when you've got people that are asking for money. When he heard that it was Jesus of Nazareth, he began to shout, "Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me. Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me." Many rebuked him and told him to be quiet. "Hey, Bartimaeus, shh, 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 calm down, man, calm down." But he shouted all the more, "Son of David, have mercy on me." Jesus stopped and said, "Call him." So they called to the blind man, "Cheer up, on your feet, he's calling to you." Throwing his cloak aside, he jumped to his feet and came to Jesus. "What do you want me to do for you?" Jesus asked. "What do you want me to do for you?" Jesus asked. So at this point in Jesus' life, Bartimaeus has not met Jesus, but he's heard stories. There's been numerous rabbis like Jesus at that time that were going around teaching, but Jesus was different. Jesus was different because the things that he knew about Scripture were different than any other rabbi knew. There was a lot of wannabe messiahs at the time as well. People that were talking about overthrowing the dirty Romans and taking Israel back for themselves, putting together political groups to overturn the political system. There were people that were saying that the end of the world is coming. There were people that were going around saying that they can do these amazing things like heal people, raise the dead. But Jesus was different because the things that Jesus said about Scripture, no one knew. And the things that Jesus promised that he could do or that he did happened. And so word was spread throughout all of these towns in all these places about this guy named Jesus. And Bartimaeus heard these things. "Bartimaeus, did you hear about this guy named Jesus? He was able to heal this person." "What? No, really?" "Yeah. Bartimaeus, did you hear? He's standing up to the religious order of the day. What he's saying things to the Pharisees and the Sadducees that no one else has said." "Really? Oh, man. Lazarus, he healed and raised Lazarus from the dead. Bartimaeus, did you hear that?" "What? No." "Bartimaeus, did you hear? He healed someone who was born blind." "What?" So the anticipation that Bartimaeus is feeling the last, could be few years of hearing these stories about Jesus. And this one day, Bartimaeus wakes up, kind of does the same thing, throws his mat out, the only thing he owns, with his cloak. He knows that there's going to be groups of travelers going through Jericho, going on to Jerusalem. It's just like any other day, right? His agenda for the day was just to make enough money to eat some food, maybe get somewhere to sleep, and maybe just enough money for the next day to carry over. But this day was different because there was rumblings. Jesus is coming. Jesus is coming. And the anticipation builds up in Bartimaeus' heart. Maybe I can talk to him. Maybe I can talk to this guy. And all of a sudden, he sees the group of people that are walking. And everyone's, "Jesus, Jesus, Jesus, Jesus coming, Jesus coming." And everything inside of him just started to come out. He just started to shout, "Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me. Jesus," just to get his attention, just to get Jesus' attention. And Jesus stops. He hears Bartimaeus. He stops. And I can imagine that it's just, at this point, you can almost hear a pin drop, right? Jesus, bring him over here. So now Bartimaeus is standing face to face with the very person he's heard so much about, the person that can heal the sick, rose Lazarus from the dead, that healed a blind man. He's standing face to face with him. Now he's being asked a question that he's dreamed about. Jesus says to him, "What do you want me to do for you? What do you want me to do for you?" There's something about being asked a question like that. It's so pointed, where the anticipation is so high that it just lays us bare. It just kind of strips us down and lays us bare. All of our intentions are laid out. All of our desires are laid out. And everyone in the crowd, I can imagine, it is silent, but everyone is thinking, Jesus, he's blind. He's not going to ask for a new mat. He's not going to ask for a new cloak. He's not going to ask for an iPhone 7. He's blind, Jesus. But Jesus asks him, "What do you want me to do for you?" If you were at the story, what would you say? If you were there, what would you say? Yeah, not if you're Bartimaeus, but if you're you, what would you say? If Jesus were to ask you that today, what would you say? What do you want me to do for you? What do you want me to do for you? It's a pointed question and strips us bare. Think about that for a second. If you need to kind of close your eyes or just kind of put yourself in this situation. For some of you, you already know what the answer is. You already know. As I started to read this story, and maybe you're familiar with the story, or you read ahead, you already know what the answer is. And for some of you, it's going to take a few days. Your brain is still at Christmas, or maybe it's still foggy from last night, but it's a question that needs to be answered. So just take a second. Think about it. I was asked this question a couple months ago by a great friend, and it took me 2 days to answer it. And as I've met with people, as I've asked my discipleship huddle that I lead on Saturday mornings here in that room over there, as I've asked couples that are married, couples that are struggling in their marriage, as I've asked single guys, as I've asked friends, the one thing that I am consistently shocked and just almost overjoyed is that no one answers, I want new shoes for CrossFit, or I want a keyboard, or I want a new house so I can impress my neighbors, or I want a new job with a lot of money so I can buy said house or cars or shoes or keyboard. It always ends up something like this. I want to be a better husband, or I want to be a better wife. I want to be a better dad. I want to be able to handle my money in such a way that it actually doesn't control me, and I can honor God with it. And when I ask, why be a better husband? Why do you want to be a better spouse or a dad? It gets a little bit deeper. And the answer is, because this is what Jesus wants for my life, and this is how I honor God. Because Jesus wants me to be able to love my spouse the best way that I can. Or if they're single, they say, I want to be able to walk, to hear God and walk after him and do what he says, to honor God with my body. I think whatever your answer is, my assumption is that our deepest desire is to know God, to do what he says, and to walk with him. And it all plays out differently for all of us, our stage of life, wherever we're at, whether we're new to following Jesus or we've been following Jesus for 30 years or so. It all plays out differently. But at the end of the day, my assumption and my hope is that your desire is to follow after God, to hear what he has to say about your life and to do what he says. Jesus asked, what do you want me to do for you? And Bartimaeus says, Rabbi, which means teacher, I want to see. Go, said Jesus, your faith has healed you. Immediately he received his sight and followed Jesus along the road. It's just a few things here. I love the way that Mark starts the story and then ends the story. And I'm kind of nerdy and geeky about this stuff, but it's this beautiful picture, these bookends, where he's got Bartimaeus sitting by the roadside at the beginning of the story. And at the end, Bartimaeus is actually on the road following Jesus. And the amazing thing for Bartimaeus is that this day is just like any other day for him as it started. I'm going to throw my mat on the ground. I'm going to put my cloak on. I'm going to hopefully make some money. Some people that are really just generous, maybe they'll just give me some money so I can have enough to eat and maybe find a room. But Jesus interrupted his plans. Jesus interrupted his agenda. And now Bartimaeus went from sitting by the roadside to being on the road. And here is the crazy thing, is that the next part of the story, you've got Jesus walking into Jerusalem, actually riding on that donkey, and the crowd of people are shouting, Hosanna, Hosanna, Hosanna. And then just a few days later, that same crowd are the ones that are shouting, Crucify, Crucify. And we can only imagine that Bartimaeus is with Jesus as he enters into Jerusalem, and that Bartimaeus is going around, and people are saying, whoa, wait, you're Bartimaeus. You were blind, but now you can see. It's Jesus. It's Jesus. And that Bartimaeus was able to be with Jesus during that last week, and that Bartimaeus actually was there when they hoisted Jesus up on a cross. And he's watching this play out for the first time with his new eyes, and he's weeping. We can only imagine that's what happened, because the story doesn't say. But he's following Jesus into Jerusalem. Well, we're busy making New Year's resolutions, plans, and they're great to sign up for CrossFit or for Dave Ramsey or a Bible read-through program. And again, these are all great things. Please know that the God of the universe isn't bound by those plans. He isn't bound by those agendas. He isn't bound by our success. He isn't bound by our failures. He isn't bound by our sickness or our addictions or our ailments. He isn't bound but God, if I can only do, he isn't bound by any of that. Mosaic, I firmly believe the God of the universe wants to radically change our lives in 2017. To catch us on the side of the road, to step into our world, to radically change it, and then to get us onto that road. And then we can, as we follow and walk with Jesus on that road, that we can testify to what God has done in our lives and what he is doing in our lives, and in the lives of our family, and in the lives of our church. Can you imagine what Mosaic would look like at the end of 2017? If our agenda was to say, God, we want to hear from you, and we want to do what you say. We want you to interrupt our plans. We want you to interrupt our lives. We want to know, Jesus, what do you want to do in our lives this year? What do you want to do in our marriages, in our friendships? What do you want to do in Mosaic for 2017? So I want to close this time by allowing you some space to do that, to pray. Just take a few moments to pray. If you're on the floor here, you've got some scripture that I printed out, and you can just jot down on that paper what you feel like maybe Jesus is saying to you about what he wants to do in your life for 2017. You can take it and maybe take it, put it in your pocket, or put it on your maybe your bathroom window to remind you that God interrupts our plans. He interrupts our agendas. And that's okay. He has every right to do that. So why don't you just take a few minutes. We'll be quiet if you just want to pray silently. And then I'll pop back up here in just a few minutes or so.